that Jesus born today is Lord. He is Lord. If you believe he's Lord, rise on your feet right now, confess it. He is Lord. I say amen to that.
Yes, risen from the dead.
He is Lord of all lords, King of all kings.
Every knee
shall bow before him.
Every tongue
and every tongue will confess
that
Jesus is Lord. The Lord on earth,
he is
the Lord in heaven.
Lord.
Oh, he is Jesus.
He is Lord.
He's the one we celebrate.
He has risen from the dead.
And he is Lord. Every knee shall bow.
Worship this Lord. We celebrate you, Jesus. We celebrate you, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Deliverer, our Redeemer. The Word that was made flesh. We exalt you, we worship you, we bow before you. Hallelujah. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We bless your name this day. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. A Merry Christmas to you all. Amen. Glory to God. Let's quickly go into the Bible. Today, I always believe that it is a glorious thing and something that is worthy of acceptation for believers in Jesus Christ to actually gather and assemble on a day like this. Praise God. But unfortunately, in the world, even those who don't know him, don't believe in him, everybody has this spirit of festivity. Hallelujah. But we who are believers must not be carried away with the happenings. We must embrace the true meaning of a day like this. Hallelujah. Because if we don't gather to celebrate the day that he was born and celebrate why he came, then what is our whole life all about? What do we then gather for? Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bible to the book of Luke chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 26 to 38. Luke chapter 1, verses 26. Yeah. Are you there? If you're there, say amen, so that we can go quickly. And to everyone that is watching online, we say Merry Christmas to you also, as you join us in this Christmas service today. Hallelujah. The blessings of this day will not be missing in your life in the name of Jesus. Okay, shall we rise as we read the word of God together from the book of Luke, chapter 1, and from verse 26. To verse 38. So let's read, one to go. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord be with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind, what manner of salutation should this be? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and he shall be called Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Hallelujah. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Blessed God, we are always grateful. What a joy to be alive, to celebrate the reconciliation of earth to heaven through the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. We are grateful for what you have for us today. Let your word be revelatory. Let it be insightful. Let your word change our understanding and renew our minds according to the will of God. For our lives, for our families, for our nation, and for the church of the living God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking absolute control right now. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Today, I just want to share something with you. I know that there will be many sermons, you know, that have been preached and will still be preached about the birth of Jesus Christ. And I know that there are many sermons that actually focus on the birth of Jesus Christ. But today I want to focus more on the events that took place before the birth. Glory to God. And I believe this will help you and I to really understand not only why Jesus came, but also why you came. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. So I titled today's message, The Big Picture. The Big Picture. So a lot of people, of course, we know that Christmas Day means different things. When we were young, Christmas only meant new clothes, new shoes. I mean, you know that is the time. To parents, they know that it is spending time. Amen. It's spending time. So it means different things to different people. But as believers, we've got to go deeper. Hallelujah. Say it with me. Go deeper. We need to go deeper. Hallelujah. Because if we really look at Christmas as just the day that Jesus was born, we might really miss the bigger picture. Hallelujah. God, as we know him, and I've said it many times, is a God of purpose. He's a God of plan, and he's a God of objectivity. In other words, God doesn't do things with no reason. God always has an idea. Glory be to Jesus. He has an idea, and then he puts his idea into expression. God's idea was to reconcile man back unto God. There is always a reason why God does things. Hallelujah. And the reason that he does what he does is more important. Now, let me just give an illustration. For some of us here who are parents, and for those who are children also, when your child comes to you and say, "Mommy, give me 200 naira. Now, your first response, can I ask a parent here? Can I ask our sister here? What will be your first response? Exactly. In other words, the reason for the money is more important than the money itself. Glory to God. So you consider. That's what you say. What, "Mommy, give me." You say, "What for?" Because it is the "what for" that will determine whether you will receive the money or not. Hallelujah. In the same vein, it is not that you are born into this world that is the most significant thing. It is what you are born into this world to do. So what you are born here to do is really more significant and more powerful than you being born. I said, God always has an idea. So the idea is more important. Glory to God. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. We quote the scripture. When God said to Jeremiah, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. And I have ordained you." In other words, I had a plan to accomplish something. That's my idea. So I brought you for the purpose of the accomplishment of that idea that I have. Glory to God. When I see Christmas, I see it beyond Christ just being born. I want to see what he was born to do. Because it is in his purpose that I can find the purpose for my own life. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Accepting Christ. If you are not in Christ, you are still living an aimless life. I don't care the plans that you have for yourself. I don't care all the ideas that you have. You are still living an aimless life unless you are in Christ. Glory to God. Now, you may look at yourself. There are many people in the world who have succeeded in their career, but don't have Christ. And you say, "Pastor, are you saying those people have not accomplished something in life?" Yes, they have accomplished something in life. Glory to God. But life, as the Bible tells us, they are yet to accomplish anything. Jesus says, according to John chapter 10 and verse 10, "I have come that they might have life." So the interpretation and the definition of life is the one that Jesus gives, not the one that the world gives. Hallelujah. People will say, "Let's enjoy life." No, life is enjoying you. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 6. Let's see what Jesus said there. Verse 28. Matthew 6. Before I go into what Mary had to go through. And we must also follow her footsteps. Matthew 6. Verse 28. And then I'll go to 31. And 28 says, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin." 31. "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things, the Gentile do seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But, let somebody say but. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Glory to God. Jesus says, life according to him is not what you will eat, drink, or wear. He said, life is about the kingdom. Which kingdom? The kingdom of heaven. That's life. So he says, seek ye first that kingdom and its righteousness. Glory to God. Seek to make the kingdom of heaven to come upon the earth. Let there be a governing influence of kingdom impact in your space, in your place, in your platform, and in the position to which God has created for you. He said, that's life. Glory be to Jesus. That's life. Every other thing that we have made life is not life based on this scripture. Glory to God. Because many people will think, yes, life is good. There is a product that the advertisement says of that product, life is good. Have you seen it? Why? You think there is life in the product? I can derive life from the product. An electrical product that NEPA can finish with a surge. And that's the end. So it means if your life is compared to that, then what is life? Hallelujah. But life, according to what Jesus is telling us here, is one that there is no surge can extinguish. It's eternal life. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. So, beloved, when God created man, according to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, what did the scripture say? And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Glory to God. That is the big picture. It is the purpose is dominion. The fact that you are alive and God brought you here on planet Earth, it is for what? Dominion. Every one of us as a child of God, once you give your life to Christ, we ought to be seeking for the reason for our existence. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered the heart of man what God has in store. But the Bible says it has been revealed to us by his Spirit. The things that are given to us, in verse 12, says they have been revealed to us by the Spirit of God. So if you want to know the why of your creation, the reason for your existence here on earth is by the Spirit. Is somebody listening? It's by the Spirit of God. It's a revelation from God. It's not a revelation from your environment. It's not a revelation of what, you know, life, as they say in the world, has happened to your family. No. Glory to God. Many people think that, I mean, life is just, their life is just trash. But the day that you come to know that you are not a mistake, that God had an idea and he brought you here. The day that you had that revelation, beloved, then you will know that even in what the world calls a trash, there is still a triumph. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's look at the life of Mary. Because one thing I want us to understand today is that the purpose always precedes creation. There's a purpose. There's always a reason for something. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 tells us there is time and purpose for everything under heaven. There's a purpose for it. Purpose just means there is a reason. There is a why of it. Glory be to Jesus. There's a why. Wherever God has placed you and positioned you, there is a why. I've said it many times. I said, when God opens a door for you, go back to God and say, Lord, why is this door open? You need to know why. Hallelujah. Let's first of all go to Isaiah chapter 9 and let us read verses. Isaiah 59 and I want you to be fully persuaded today. Verses 6 to 7. If you are there, say amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let's read together. I want us to read this together. Isaiah 9. Yes, chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. One to go. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Whatever the Lord has proposed for your life, the zeal of the Lord will perform it. I said the zeal of the Lord will perform it. Because God is a God of purpose. Proverbs 19 and 21 says, he said, there are many plans in a man's heart, but only the purposes of God shall prevail. And the purposes of God, they cannot be annulled. God had a purpose. Man fell, according to Genesis chapter 3. Adam fell. They sinned. And what did they lose in the garden? A governing influence over the earth. That's what they lost. They lost dominion over the earth. They lost it to the devil. They yielded that authority and power to the enemy. But God is in the business of always redeeming and reclaiming. Glory be to Jesus. So to reclaim earth back and give dominion back to man, someone had to pay the price. So God said, this is the idea that I have. I'm going to send my son, amen, to pay the price so that earth can be reconciled back to heaven. So that my idea, my original idea that I had, according to Genesis 1:26, that man should have dominion over all the things that I've created, can be reestablished. Glory be to Jesus. The government shall be upon his shoulder. So Jesus is the governor. He's not Sawulu. Jesus is the governor. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Now you have to see yourself as the Bible says. Jesus said, look, they are in this world, but they are not of this world. So we have a governor. I don't know, but the governor from the kingdom that I come from is Jesus Christ. So I'm celebrating my governor today. My governor. Hallelujah. His Excellency. Did you not see? He's wonderful. He's the Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
That's the big picture. The government shall be upon his shoulder. God said, I'm sending my son. And for what reason? He always gives the reason why he's sending him. Always. In the Bible reading today, to the shepherds, the Bible said it. He said, he is coming. Someone who is going to be the Savior. So what he is born to do was already explained and expressed. Beloved, can you say this is what you are born to do? I've always said it. I said the most important date in a man's life is not the day that he was born, nor the day that he died. It is what he did between birth and death. That it is. Some people die, people start hissing. Akutukwe. Because the person lived an aimless life, didn't touch anybody. Probably didn't know Jesus or knew Jesus, but just knowing that there is a God somewhere. No intimacy, no fellowship, not acquainted with him to the point where he will move from living an aimless life to living a purposeful life. You know, if you are very familiar with Anglican wake-up services, before, in those days, I think they just stopped it a few years back. When there is a wake-up, they will ask people, maybe somebody from the church, from the family, from his work, or somebody, you know, some people to come and give a tribute, a testimony of the person's life. But I discovered that of recent, when I attend any wake-up, I discovered that they've stopped it. And that is Anglican communion. They've stopped it. They don't allow people to. And I was wondering, so I started asking the questions. Why did they stop? I mean, people want to say something about the departed. Why won't they give them opportunity to do so? And from what I was gathering, number one, they said, because of time. I said, that can't be the reason. You can limit the people that will talk. So I said, what is the real thing? What's the reason? They said, you see, when you are doing something and God is in the present, people should not be lying. I said, now you are talking. There is no point. You come there, you come and lie about the person. He's a very good man. He's a very good man. He's not good. He's not a good man. So they stopped it. Abby, the Bible says, don't do anything that will make your brother to stumble. So instead of allowing people to lie, just shut their mouths. Praise God forever. So what is important is what you are born to do. Not just because you are part of statistics in the world. You just came in and that was it. In our text today, Mary had her plans, did she not? She had her plans. In fact, she was about to get married. I mean, she's gotten engaged to the best guy in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. By the name Joseph, Brother Joe. Amen. And Sister Mary must have been delighted and rejoicing and happy. Ah, bye-bye to spinsterhood. Now I'm going to be married. Hey, it's happening. Mrs. Joseph. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And in Nigeria, you know what would have been happening? I mean, the Ashoebi would have gone on. The one for the engagement. The one for the wedding. All sorts of things would have been happening. It's time to spend money. Hello? The hall for the reception would have been rented. Hallelujah. All manner of, what do you call them? Events people would have been contracted. Millions would have gone out. Amen? All of a sudden, there was a messenger. Yeah? And the messenger of God came. Messenger Gabriel. And said, Mary, your plan is about to be disrupted. Beloved, I want you to listen because this is the point I really want to make. Remember, I said, I want to touch on what happened, the event before. Because it is important to the outcome. Mary, I'm about to disrupt your plans. Because your plan is not seeking first my kingdom. Oh, glory to God. Your plan has left out the governing influence of my kingdom. You are concerned about just being married. You are in love with being a married woman. You are in love with being Mrs. So-so-so and so. But Mary, I have a different idea. Mary, there is a bigger picture here. It's not just about you getting married. It's about my purpose for your marriage. Glory to God. Your purpose in life is more important than marriage. Oh. Glory to God. You see, this is where marriage ends. There is no Mr. and Mrs. when you get to heaven. Hallelujah. And from all we have read in the Bible, there was no time that they said before the judgment seat, people came and God was asking them, who's your wife? Who's your husband? The question didn't come up. From the parable that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents, what did the master ask for? What did you do with what I gave you? Glory to God. Your assignment in life is more important than life itself, just living. Glory to God. Remember Esther? Esther thought, yeah, now I've made it. A trash that has now become triumphant. Me, orphan, that had nobody, has now become a somebody. Hello? But she was about to miss it. That's the point I'm trying to make. When you do not acquaint yourself with what you are born to do, going back to the one that brought you here and asking him to reveal to you what you are born to do, what your own assignment is. Jesus was here for a purpose, and our purpose is also in his purpose. So there is a need to go back to God and ask him, what is my assignment? What do you have for me to do? What am I born to do? Why? I want to know the why of my creation, the reason for my existence. What's my purpose in life? And let God give you clarity by his Spirit of what to do, where to go, who to meet, what to do. Hallelujah. Esther was about to meet it when Mordecai said, "Do you know whether you are born to this kingdom at such a time as this?" Esther was to be an instrument in God's hand for the deliverance of the Jews. That's it. It's not about marrying the king.
Oh.
The position and the platform is because of the purpose. It's because of the purpose. When God opened door for you and said, "I'm working in Chevron," why? A lady here in Lagos was appointed the chairman of one of the biggest banks. She said, "The first thing I did, enter my closet, and I prostrated on the floor. I said, 'God, I'm not leaving this place until you tell me the reason why you opened this door. I've got to know. Because if I don't know, I will be in a position of prominence and become an embarrassment to the kingdom. And I don't want to be there like that.'" Glory to God. Many people are in position and places, but they have become embarrassment to the kingdom because they never knew what they were born to do, why that door was open in the first place, why God gave them the platform that he gave to them, why God put them in the position which they have found themselves. For the way of man is not in himself. It is not man that walketh to direct his own steps. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. It's about God. It's not about your plans. Do you know what you are born to do? Otherwise, you will miss the bigger picture. Mary. Let's see what Mary did, and I'm closing there. Number one, Mary had. Have you heard? She had. She had the message. Number two, she considered what she had. Many of us, the Spirit of God has been nudging you. Go this way. Do this. Do that one. We'll say, because we still don't have the big picture. We still think life is just about me and what I want. What I want to eat. What I want to drink. What I want to wear. We still think that is life. So if you have a myopic view of life, there is no way that you live a purposeful life. Your life remains aimless. You never see the bigger picture. But Mary considered. How did we know she considered? He said, "What manner of salutation is this?" She said, "How is this going to happen?" How is it going to happen? Some of you, God has been telling you, go and do this thing. You've been giving excuses. Where is it? How can I do this? How can I do that? On daily basis, the Spirit, not Jesus, to take certain steps, but we disobey, we ignore, we neglect. And when we are doing that, we do not know that we are putting even our destiny and the destinies of others in jeopardy. Because God always has, there's a bigger picture. Praise the Lord. So there are other people that are meant to be influenced by your destiny. And when you disobey divine leading, you put your destiny, theirs, into jeopardy. Yeah. When God asks you, speak to that person about Jesus. I want to use you, your mouth, your feet, your hand, to that person needs to be saved. Do you know that God knows everything? Do you know that God sees a trap in front of you? The Bible says, "He is he unto whom no secret is hidden, and every desire is known." He sees it. He sees the end from the beginning. He knows the plan of the enemy that is in front of us. And God is always looking for a way to subvert the enemy's course. concerning our lives. And his people he's going to use. Hello? His people. She heard, she considered, and then she agreed. She agreed. Have you agreed to God's plan for your life? She agreed. She aligned her thoughts with what the angel told her about God's idea for her life. She agreed with it. How? She said it herself plainly. Be it unto me according to your word. She submitted herself to God's plan, not to her plan. So some of us say, Satan, I bind you in the mighty name of Jesus. No, look, when you tell people some things sometimes, they think you are, especially when it comes to the issue of marriage. I'm telling you, I remember, you know, someone, I mean, before the marriage, the parents on both sides have already started abusing themselves. The father of the girl and the father of the boy. You're a stupid man. Yeah, you are a very stupid man. I mean. Before the marriage itself, they've started abusing themselves. And I remember, you know, my husband was saying, giving a counsel, I said, stop right now. Stop it. Don't move any further. Don't take any further step. Stop first. Consider what is happening right now. Because there is a bigger picture. If you don't solve this problem now, you will have a bigger problem in the future. So don't go ahead. And I remember one of the parents said, our boys, they've gone to the tailor. You know, the guys go to sew the suits for the groomsmen. They're already in this. We have already, we've got in the hall. We've got there. Giving reasons why that divine leading was unnecessary and was not taking into consideration the financial commitment that had been made. As if financial commitment is what keeps a marriage. Is that what keeps it healthy? Of course not. Kilating God, who? Who? The day that God said, I formed you in your mother's womb, who did he consult? When God made a decision to bring you on planet Earth, you think he consulted anybody? He said, I formed you in your mother's womb. I'm the one. If I didn't form you, there's nothing your mother can do. She can wish to have a son. She can wish to have a daughter. Glory to God. Only my purposes prevail. How with the world here? The world. The world has already been judged. And you are still considering the world. Who cares? Who cares? As a musician once sang, let them say. Let them say. Are they going to live with you in the family you are going to? Do you know they went ahead? No, the whole thing is scattered now anyway. Because when you ignore divine leading, I mean, you already set yourself up for frustrations. God cannot be toyed with. It is a privilege. It is a high privilege. I remember I was sharing with a woman of God about something that God revealed to me immediately after, you know, a few days after my husband passed. And The woman just, she just opened her mouth and was looking at me. Ah, I said, why? He said, ah, he said, you are a highly favored and privileged woman. I said, why? He said, eh? That God revealed that to you. He said, it doesn't happen to everybody. So please don't think. It is a privilege for God to give you a divine leading. And then for us to ignore it and neglect it and do nothing, it's not in our interest. That's what the devil wants anyway. So that he can perpetuate his own enterprise. Because he knows if we disobey God, he will have an upper hand. Hello. She considered, she agreed with that plan. And said, be it unto me according to thy word. You've got to agree with God's purpose for your life. Why? Why did she agree? Why did she agree? She agreed. She acted on it. Why? Because she knew from whom the instruction came. That it is from God. She acknowledged that there is more to her life than her own personal desires. Amen. Let me just share a testimony. When my children were still in primary school, closing time one day, I was there to pick them up, and as one of, I think David's classmates saw me, David's mommy, David's mommy. David can't see. He can't see. Ah, he can't see how. What's that? What do you mean he can't see? As the girl was telling me, another girl was running. She ran past me, in front of me, and then she fell down on gravel. All her knees, you know. Ah. So somebody was saying, come, please, come and see David. I saw this girl in front of me. I carried the girl straight to the sick bay or whatever they call it, so that she can have some attention. Thereafter, I now went to my son's class, and they said he was playing with someone, blah, 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 and then something got into his eye and all that, so he had not opened his eyes since then and all that. So we went home. I called the doctor, and I prayed. When the doctor said, ah, okay, did he bring out water? I said, I wasn't there then, so I don't know. I prayed. I said, Father, heal this eye. By the next morning, I was told to go and see one ophthalmologist. I took him there, and they checked the eye. The ophthalmologist said, ah, I can see that something happened. Something is torn inside the eye, but it's healed. It's like it's healed. So I can see the evidence of the scar there, but it is already healed. So I don't even have to give you anything. Obatin she operation lai luabere. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know why God did it, but I have this persuasion that as I carried another woman's child to receive help, God helped my child. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I mean, what is the purpose of God, your priority in life? Or your personal desires are your priorities? This is not the kind of, you know, message that people are expecting to hear on Christmas Day. But these are the events that took place for Christmas to happen. Somebody had, somebody agreed, somebody accepted what they had, and somebody acted on it. If Mary didn't act on it, what do you think will happen? If Mary said, look, I'm going to, you know what's going to happen in the town. I got pregnant. The man has not had anything to do with me. In fact, I will be ostracized. My family would disown me. I mean, the stakes are too high. But she submitted and surrendered herself to the will of God. Will you surrender yourself to the will of God? Even when you know that it will mean that you have to jettison your own personal idea, desires. Rise on your feet. Did you get something from today's message? Glory to God. God has a plan for you. I want you to talk to the person, maybe two or three people, and tell them you are not a mistake. There is a reason for your existence. You are God's idea. And God's idea will never fail. So you will not fail, you will not fall, and you will not falter. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The grace to surrender and submit to the will of God. May that grace come upon you today. As a Christmas gift unto you from the Lord. Receive it now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lift up your two hands and bless God. Bless Him for bringing Jesus into the world. His coming to the world is what has given our lives a meaning and given us a purpose to live for. So thank God. If you are here today and you still do not know what you are born to do, be acquainted with the Spirit of God. The Bible says He will reveal to us things that have been given unto us by the Father. And He will reveal to you as you become acquainted with Him. As you walk with Him daily, He will begin to direct your paths to the will and the plan of God for your life. Worship the Lord. Worship Him. Lift up your two hands and bless His name. Bless His name. Hallelujah. I will worship Him forever, love Him forever, because this God is too good. I will worship Him forever, love Him forever, because this God is too good. I will worship my Jesus, love Him forever, because this God is too good. Bless Him and worship Him for His goodness in your life. Whatever you worship the Lord for, He will make it to happen in your life. As you worship Him for His goodness will locate you in this season. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Worship the King of Kings. Worship the Governor of the Kingdom. Worship Him for His plans and purpose for your life. Worship Him because He makes all things beautiful in His time. Worship Him. Yes, Lord, we bless You. We bless Your name. Thank You, Jesus. We bless You. We celebrate. We celebrate You. We celebrate You. We celebrate Your birth. We celebrate what it means to us as a people of God. Thank You for coming to save us. Thank You for reconciling earth back to heaven. Thank You for giving us life that is abundant in quantity and superior in quality. Thank You for Your purpose for our lives. Thank you for the purpose to live for. The power to live by. People to live with. We are grateful. We worship you for your goodness. And thank you for your faithfulness. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Hallelujah. We honor you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name we have worshipped. Can somebody put their hands together for Jesus? Hallelujah. If you receive the word of God today, put your hands together for the wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God. Hallelujah.